November 24th, 2013, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to review 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. We went over this last week. As we approach the end time, the Bible interpretation and understanding would become like a fable to many people. There are many teachings regarding marriage in the Bible, and here the old wives are ailing churches, since the marriage is between Christ, the man, and the church, his bride. And the Bible is warning in many places that the church will become profane and start producing fables, which is people's wishful thinking, like us being lifted up before the great tribulation and will be brought down after the tribulation. It's like Doraemon, a cartoon character's convenient gadget. We want God to make our fantasies come true, but the Bible story should not be taken so. I'm sorry if I sound like I keep attacking this doctrine over and over again, since I got kicked out twice from the church for speaking against their belief, but you have to understand that there will be many fables like this filling the church towards the end time. And as we covered before, in the 1 Timothy, which says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Many will be deceived by the evil spirits and evil teaching in the end time. I know I am repeating myself over and over, but we are in the end time, and unfortunately, most of the Christians are not taking this warning seriously. I told you my story last week about my trip to Jerusalem, and I was almost robbed, though I had been warned many times before. Same thing about the church. The Bible warns us many times about this, but not many have taken this warning to the heart. We receive this revelation because we are commissioned to do so. That's why we send out newsletters when unsolicited, and we hold seminars to educate people. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In letters to Timothy, Paul repeats the words godliness, like in the end of chapter 3, great is the mystery of godliness. Like Jesus saying that the kingdom of God was revealed to the disciples but not to the others, the mystery of godliness is revealed to some but not to all. Living without bad habit like gambling is fine, but living without knowing the mystery of godliness would cost you more. And you can increase in godliness as you can increase in strength by bodily exercise. Someone I know is a big fan of Yukio Mishima. He even created a website dedicated for him. He's the one who killed himself doing harakiri. When you look at his picture, he was first very skinny, and then he started doing bodybuilding, and you can see that he was beefed up later in his life. I never believe in paying money for doing exercise, but when I was 19 and going to college, I have to work to pay the tuition and to make living. So I worked by delivering milk bottles. There were about 200 to 300 houses you have to cover every morning, and I was trained by a lady who was in her 40s. She first took me around so that I can learn where to deliver the milk bottles. So she told me that her husband had an accident and could not work, so she had to get a driver's license right away. And she started working to support her family. She was very tiny, but was very strong and fast. And I was 19, but I could not keep up with her. And I became nauseous towards the end of the delivery route. I didn't think that I was cut out for this work and seriously considered quitting. But I also needed money desperately, so I went out for delivery many more times with her. And eventually, I became strong enough to do the work. I was able to carry up the cases of bottles and then walk up to the fifth floor apartment and come down and then go to the next building to walk up to the fifth floor again. And we spent 2-3 hours doing that kind of work every morning. And eventually, I was able to do the work with no problem. Same thing with the godliness. When you discipline yourself, you can increase in godliness, like you can build your own muscle strength. And it will profit you eternally. And in this world, the rebellious people always look more attractive. Some ladies told me back in my high school days that the most popular guy in school was the rebel. This world does not regard godliness as attractive. But the Bible not only says that you have to have it, but also to discipline yourself to perfect in godliness. It also says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. So the importance of godliness is emphasized at least 3 times in these verses. Jesus had perfected godliness, and in his perfection, he was able to respond to the world like he did not respond to evil accusations with flesh. He responded with godliness unto his death. I know godliness is not something the world likes. We don't have TV at home, but I know that there's a TV program that was very popular this year called Double Payback. You also hear people say 10 times payback, which is really satanic. We should not be like that. So how do we discipline our godliness? As you know, our latest newsletters contain some write-ups on Catholicism, and I did receive some complaining phone calls. But I am now beginning to think that this is a discipline for me. So whenever they make me upset or treat me unfairly, I am training myself not to respond in flesh, for this is only a training. I know that in my Christian walk, I have never met a pastor or minister telling me to pursue godliness. Have you ever met anyone like that? I know this is not something many pastors would place an emphasis on, but godliness is a very important thing, since the verse 11 also says, these things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy was young, but your age doesn't really matter when you're chosen by God to do God's work. Also, as we do God's work, we have to be an example in word and in conduct. Same in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You cannot be like, well, because I'm a messenger, I will say what I have to say, but will not regard my own conduct. That is not acceptable. We have to be an example in all things as God commands. The verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, the exhortation to doctrine. Here it says the importance of reading the Bible. If you read it only once, you will not learn much. But if you read it over and over again, your understanding deepens, and you start seeing messages you have never seen before. Yesterday, for example, we talked about 2 stone tablets in a box. I never saw much meaning to it before, but as I was reading this many times, one day you receive a revelation, because word is God. And also exhortation, to urge someone to do something, is necessary. For example, the part that Solomon's having built the temple and his teachings, there are many things to be learned, but it is not easy to understand. We need to break it down for others to digest. So it is like you go to a restaurant and they serve you uncooked rice, and you won't be able to enjoy it. Someone has to cook for you. Same thing with the Bible teaching. Someone has to teach others in a way that they can appreciate and enjoy. And that's exhortation. And to doctrine. As you know, the Bible story of five foolish virgins and five wise, half of the Christians will not become the bride of Christ. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Here Paul says with confidence that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying maybe you have the gift. He says you do have the gift. That's why he tells us not to neglect the gift. One of the Satan's lies is God never gave you the gift. And this letter is not only for Timothy. You might think Paul is writing this only to Timothy, who was Paul's favorite, but this is for all of us. Not using a gift is like you have a bicycle given to you, but you don't use it and you always walk anywhere on foot. Satan works through deception. I believed his lie for a long time. I used to believe that I never had a gift of prophecy. But the Bible says to pursue the gift of prophecy, so I did. So if anyone pursues it, it will be given to you because it is the promise of God. Same thing with the gift of healing. We had someone came to the church with a cold, so I lay hand on him and I prayed for him, and he later told me that he went to work next day and was feeling much better. It might be coincidence, but you need to use the gift of the Spirit if you believe you have it. Verse 15 and 16. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Here Paul says, take heed yourself to Timothy, who is doing the ministry work. This means to pay attention and be careful. If you're a Christian, and especially if you start doing ministry work, Satan will single you out and start attacking you. The Bible says, the sweet water and the bitter water do not flow out of the same spring. But if you are not completely submitted to Christ, and try to work as a messenger of something, you will have both the Holy Spirit and the evil spirit flow out of you. And when that happens, it will not only destroy you, but you will also destroy your followers. Well, Paul says in a positive light, saying, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. But in other words, deceived messenger will destroy him and others around him. Jesus also said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Jesus was very harsh on them, but whatever he said, he spoke the truth. When we speak, we often say things to make us sound strong or sound convincing, but Jesus only spoke the truth, and he said Gehenna for the word hell. So Jesus said clearly that they and their converts were going to hell. He also said, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. It also says in the Epistle of James, chapter 3, in the first verse, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. When the horse bits here is the teacher, and the big body of the horse is the church. So teacher can take the horse any direction he wishes. The verse 4 says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small, very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Here, the rudder is the teacher, and the ship is the church. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. And here, we now see a tongue is a teacher and takes our life to anywhere the tongue speaks. And a good example is the Pope, who now says that he accepts evolution theory. That makes all the Catholics to reject the Genesis. That's why the teacher's responsibility is huge. That's why 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself. If we work as a minister, you have an opportunity to oversee a big church. The first thing you have to pay attention is not whether the building has an AC or it has a big pipe organ. You have to be very careful about your spiritual standing. And that's what I have been trying to do. Before I pay attention to anybody else, I have to pay attention to myself. And I have been doing that. And another thing the Bible mentioned in this verse is the word doctrine. It says teaching in Japanese Bible, but the King James Version says doctrine. The dispensationalism is a doctrine. It's a wrong doctrine. Narrow is the path to righteousness, and easy is the path, and wide is the gate to destruction. That's a doctrine too. So you should take in all the words seriously. And if you continue to do so, it says, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So there are ministers who cannot save themselves and lead people to astray. So you have to save yourself first. So you have to know the teacher needs to recognize the responsibility and have to watch out for the attack of Satan so that he can save himself and others as well.